Hello and welcome to the Raptors Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu. I'm joined by my producer and co-host, Alex Wong. Alex, how you feeling?
What's going on, my Asian brother? I guess this is your new intro now. What's going on, apparently. William? How are you today?
What's going on, man? We're pulling dialogue from Rush Hour 2? Like, what's happening, man?
I'm sorry, man. We only have, like, 3 movie references. That's Hollywood's fault, man. They need to make more movies. Well, what do we got, man? Better Luck Tomorrow, Rush Hour. Rush Hour, not really an Asian film trilogy. Or is it?
What?
Do you want to debate this?
What are you talking about?
Is it a Jackie Chan movie? Is it a Jackie Chan movie or a Chris Tucker movie? We've actually never dove into this.
Rush Hour 2 is a Jackie Chan movie. Rush Hour 1 is a Chris Tucker movie. Rush Hour 3 doesn't exist.
You know what? You are the Asian Roger Ebert, man. What can I say? Mm. So, yeah. No, we got Shang-Chi. What else do we have, man? Crazy Rich Asians. We need more.
Linsanity.
We have Linsanity. Yeah, you know what? Many people are saying Linsanity is a movie. It was definitely a movie, so we have that too. All right, great small talk. No, man, we got to get into this today right away. We might got to spend the whole first segment, man. We got to dive into this 7-man rotation. What's going on, William, with this 7-man rotation?
I mean, you know what? We can think about sort of what's going on, but the reality is that a lot of these other guys, when they have been given chances, haven't produced whatsoever, right? So Nick's looking at it like, if I want to win the game and my job as the coach is to put my team in the best position to win a game, I'm not playing any of these guys because so far, these guys have all been negatives when they come into the game. And it's not like these guys haven't had chances. You might say, well, they haven't had chances recently. Maybe you give them a chance, and I hear that. And I think probably just for the, you know, overall well-being of the team, you probably need to extend the rotation. But for Nick, I don't think he wants to hear anything about extend the rotation. I mean, they just played a bunch of really, really good teams, really, really tough. There's clearly something working there. A lot of these games are kind of coin flip results that the Raptors haven't fully been able to close out. And you might say, well, these guys are so tired, that's why they can't close it out. Sure, that's one factor. But the reality is that if Nick extends his rotation to some of these guys, he's going to have a less chance of winning. So that's why he's doing it. I don't know if I necessarily agree. I think in the overall strategy, you still need to sort of pace yourself a little bit more. But, you know, the situation is like, do you want to put in one of these other guys and start to lose some minutes? I don't know. I'm not even sure the rest of the rotation guys, like the regular players, are playing 44 minutes. I don't think they want to play less either. Of course, there's also a case we made that you got to protect these players from themselves. But that's the situation. Like, it's not as much of a mystery to me, like, why he's not playing them. Like, he can't come out and say outright, like, yo, these guys suck. I mean, I think Nick probably has done that in the past, and I don't think it's the right approach. But yeah, I mean, some of these guys just aren't performing. I don't know what else to say.
That's totally fair, but I just think it's interesting, especially the way he reacted to some of the line of questioning after the game last night. I saw a quote where he said, you know, our guys played a really good game. I don't know why I'm sensing so much negativity here from everybody, but our guys played their guts out tonight against a team that's 10-1 in their last 11. And I'm with that. And I'm with you too, in terms of if you're looking at this from a very short-term, narrow-minded point of view, this is probably the part of the season where they need to win games. You need to move up in the standings, see where you're at, especially with the trade deadline coming and all of this. But you know this. You can't play 6 guys, 7 guys over an extended stretch. And I'm not saying, listen, like, Nick isn't an idiot. Like, he knows this. But, like, what is the long-term plan? Because I'm not saying that Utah and Zvi, and honestly, to an extent, even Malachi and Delano are the most important pieces on this team. But when you are benching guys and not playing them, like, you risk just losing them for the rest of the season. And what are you going to do if you only have 7 guys for the rest of the season? I guess that was like my first way of looking at it. Just like, trust me, I get it. I looked at the numbers. I was actually on NBA.com today looking at the stats. Wow. And, you know, I don't want to read any Utah Watanabe stats because they're not looking good when I sort it by the last 5 games, last 10 games. But these guys have not performed when they're on the court. But isn't there something to just letting them play through it as well?
I mean, yeah, there is something to that for sure. I'm not saying specifically which way is the right way or wrong way. I don't think there actually is one in particular. I think really the reality is that the situation is the front office has stocked this roster with like 5 guys that can't play, period. One guy, first off, they are only carrying 14 guys on the roster. This is mostly due to salary constraints. They want to stay under the luxury tax. That's fine with me. I don't care. But out of those 14 guys, one of them is Goran, who refuses to be with the team. So you're down to 13. Okay, which I know is already pretty hilarious as it is. Then you're looking at Svi, Delano, Malachi. And out of those three guys, I'm pretty sure that when they come in, the chances are very good that the level of play drops with them coming in rather than when it picks up when they come in, right? So those guys are net negatives for sure to me. Yuta has not been playing of late. He has been a net negative of late. Had more positive moments earlier in the year, but since coming back in COVID, he hasn't had that yet. Maybe it's just sort of he needs to find his rhythm again, but still, there's not that much upside with playing Yuta at the moment. So that's four guys right there that Nick is not really willing to turn to. Justin Champagny, you know, he's had some good moments. The vibes are immaculate with Justin, but similar to in that Pistons game where he came in for 4 minutes or for 12 minutes and committed four fouls this time around in the game against the Mavericks, he comes in, commits five fouls, including slapping Luka Doncic in the face 90 feet from the hoop. I understand pressuring. I understand Luka's acting, but just thought, what's the point? Why would you put yourself in the bonus that early? Why would you commit three fouls on Luka in the span of 90 seconds? That's not smart. That's not smart basketball. You know, and then past that, it's David Johnson and Isak Bonga, who just are G League players, right? So that's the issue with the roster. The issue is not necessarily Nick has no choices. I mean, the issue isn't just Nick is choosing specifically only to only play these guys. He's just in a really difficult place between I can be less competitive and keep my guys' minutes around 38, or I could be more competitive and not play some of these other guys who for sure are not going to raise the level of play for me. And so I think that's why he can't really, I don't know, I think that's probably why he's frustrated after some of these games, because like, what's he supposed to say? The reporters are asking about difficult questions, which is totally their job and our job, I guess. But for Nick, he can't really come out and say, well, I can't play these guys, because that is a shot to the front office, and that's also a shot to some of the guys on the team. But that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, I do wonder, and that was the other thing I was thinking about, is that we know and we've heard that, you know, the front office and the head coach, you know, with Masai, Bobby, and Nick, very aligned on things. I wonder if Nick just talked to the front office and they were like, all right, man, we've got the stretch of games here. It's just part of the season. Do what you got to do, Nick. If you got to play six guys, seven guys, let's just go for these wins, see if we can move up the standings, and then we can evaluate the trade deadline. Or the other thing, you know, because I like drama, you know, is this Nick's way of letting Masai Bobby know, basically, like, hey, I need more help. Like, these are the only guys that I can play in games that I need to win. And again, I go back to this. I know Nick is not a short-sighted guy. I know he's looking at this schedule and probably thinking, like, hey, games against Milwaukee, games against Dallas, Miami, if we're going to have a chance to win the game, we got to just play these guys and that's it. And we got to sit the other guys. And he's not going to do this for the rest of the season. Like, it's just not possible. But, like, I just wonder what the thinking is and what the alignment is with the front office. And again, I know this is all speculation because we just don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. But, I mean, at the same time, I think, you know, if, for example, the front office wants to evaluate this group, this makes sense to me, right? You play your best players against the best teams and see exactly where are you short. Well, first off, you're short in terms of just bodies, right? You're a little bit more tired than the opponents at the end of these games, right? Like the fourth quarter, the Raptors, 1-for-10 from three in the fourth quarter. They played pretty good defense. Dallas only shot 5-of-15. Luka got to the free throw line. Luka hit some threes. But, you know, Dallas, like offensively, they weren't like rolling in the fourth. The Raptors still had energy to play defense, but they had no energy to play offense. 1-of-10 from three. So you see that. And also the other part is just this team overall lacks shooting. And you might argue overall lacks a big who can like consistently finish at the baskets. Of late, Chris Boucher has been really doing it, but I still feel like in the next tier when defenses are as tight as possible, I'm not really sure Chris can score on that. And I'm pretty sure Precious can't score on that. And I know Cam, even when he's healthy, probably can't score on that either. So those are probably the two areas. So I think in terms of evaluation purposes, like I think the front office is looking at the situation, and I would take away a lot more from these games as compared to like even over the, let's say, the 6-game win streak that the Raptors had a couple weeks ago, where it's like, yeah, they're rolling over these teams, but these are depleted teams coming into Toronto and they're not necessarily bringing their best guys here. And, you know, yeah, the Raptors are dropping them, you know, scoring 130. That doesn't tell me anything, right? Because that's not ultimately what you're trying to do here. You're not trying to beat a depleted Knicks team or a depleted, you know, Spurs team or a depleted Clippers team. Like, that's not informative in the way that you play all your top guys against the top teams. That tells me something. I know exactly where this roster is short. So then its decision comes down to the front office. It's like, okay, what do we do now? Do we add to this core? Do we try to find those pieces now? Do we try to find those pieces later? And I think I've said this a few times. because we literally do a daily show. But there is a distinction between going all in or going for short-term gains versus just adding to the team as a whole. Because this is not a situation where, okay, go get an Eric Gordon, come into the team. He can shoot some threes, be a vet off the bench, whatever. He's expensive, but he's serviceable. I don't really want to see a kind of move like that. I want to see a move that addresses the core of this team, that addresses the depth of this roster, not only for this year, but for next year, and maybe even the year after, because this is a problem that will roll over year after year. Even if the Raptors hold on to their draft picks this year, which they probably will, they'll draft a guy, they'll add some undrafted free agents, they'll probably sign some reclamation projects. Your end of the bench is still going to look the same. So you're going to have this issue over and over again. You still don't have a third guard in your rotation. Look around the NBA. Every team has a third guard, right? Look at Dallas. Luka is their first guard, which is amazing, right, already. But then Jalen Brunson's there. He's really good. And then they bring Tim Hardaway Jr. off the bench. The Raptors only had one guard to throw out there yesterday, and that was Fred. And he was shooting poorly. So, you know, that's where the deficiencies lie, and that's where the front office needs to sort of not just help them now, but help them moving forward. Because this is a hole on the roster just in terms of the roster construction. But then again, you know, as Nick said, what's the point of all the negativity? And I do understand that to some degree too, because, I mean, did you expect the Raptors to beat a Mavericks team on the road that was 10-1 without, you know, some of your main pieces? I don't know. I think realistically, you have to say that's a game the Raptors probably lose. Maybe they play them tight, but they lose. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, I guess we got to make a show, though.
No, I think that's fair. And the other thing you talked about in terms of, you know, not trying to make a move like an Eric Gordon for a short-term gain, I guess my pushback, too, like if you're talking about the minutes then, is then why don't you use the rest of the season and play Malachi, play Delano, play Utah, play these guys? Because as much as you need to evaluate the core group and how they, you know, function and compete against the top teams, you know, this bench thing hasn't been a problem since the championship year. And they've run into these depth issues over and over again. You know, at the same time, if you're not trying to go for every win and you're looking long term, then I would say, like, play these guys. Let them work through their mistakes. Let them have their terrible games. So at the end of the season, you know where they stand. And again, they still might do this, right? Like, Nick is not going to play seven guys for the rest of the season. I'm just saying, in some ways, if you're just going to get rid of these guys and not play them and give them the DMPs, then you can't evaluate those guys either, right?
You know what? You're right. And I totally agree with you. The flip side for Nick, though, is he would say, well, what was the end of last season? They didn't play all these guys. You know, they held these guys out, right? Malachi, at the end of the season, from April onward, right, which is when he won Player of the Month and stuff like that, 30 minutes, 34 minutes, 33 minutes, 35 minutes, 39 minutes, 35 minutes, 45 minutes. Like, he averaged 30 minutes per game for the last 24 games of the season, which is a third of the year. And you're like, wow, he showed some promise. And now he comes into this season. What did Malachi do in any of these minutes this year? Right? Like, what did Utah do after getting some extended minutes this year? Svi, all he has done so far is play on bad teams and get lots of minutes and put up some numbers. But what is he doing right now? Right? So, I mean, yes, Nick can do that. But I think, of course, right now, there are some other priorities. Like, if we're going to be real about it, Fred and Pascal have real stakes on the line right now in terms of getting to the All-Star game. And you might say, well, come on, this is not the way players play. I'm sorry, but people have motivations. These are clear motivations. You know, they're in the middle of the hunt right now. They were able to battle from four games under 500 to three games over 500. That's a good stretch. I don't think anyone was complaining about that. They get to a point now where they're in tough against the best teams. You play your best players against them. I think, you know, it's hard to tell these guys, oh yeah, you're only going to play 35 minutes today because we need to keep you at 35 so that it doesn't look so bad. And then we're going to like lose a 10-point lead when we put out a bench lineup that, you know, we saw this season, like even when the Raptors were able to sort of, Nick was able to extend his rotation, anytime they had more than even just two bench players out at once, they would consistently lose leads, right? And I'm sure it's frustrating for the guys too. I mean, look, this I don't envy Nick. He's in a tough position. And really the solutions are going to come from the front office, not from himself, quite honestly.
No, I think that's fair. And the other thing I wanted to ask you too, because I'm sure there are people wondering about this. Like, this is a running theme with Nick in terms of playing his starters very heavy minutes. It's not just he's just stumbled onto this week or even this season. You know, I was looking back, like during the 2019-20 season, the pandemic suspended season, the Raptors had three players in the top 11 in minutes per game. Kyle was fourth, Fred was 8th, Pascal was 11th. Even the Tampa season last year, they had two players in the top 10. Fred was 2nd, 36.5 minutes per game. Pascal was 8th, 35.8 minutes. And then this season, they've got Fred leading the league at 38.1 minutes per game. That sounds low, by the way. Scotty at 35.4 minutes. I think Pascal doesn't qualify because he hasn't played enough games, because he's at 36.5 minutes, which would rank him 5th. I mean, is there any kind of just concern overall in terms of how Nick manages his rotations and plays these guys?
Yeah, I think my main concern is for Fred. Is that Fred is a different situation than the other guys. Fred, absolutely, I'm so worried about, because I literally went through the game yesterday and I was looking back at his 20 shots, right? One of those was a full court heave, so let's just say 19 shots, okay? Out of those misses that he shot, what, 4-20 from the field? Like, out of those misses, there were some concerning misses. First off, 7 of his misses were short. And a lot of those were in the fourth quarter as well, just short. And he was open on a lot. Like, the thing is, Dallas didn't even play that good defense on Fred. Like, in a regular, healthy Fred game, he's putting up 30 easily in this kind of coverage, okay? Mavs are dropping back on pick and rolls and stuff like that. They're putting a small guard on him. That is generally when Fred gets open, and he was open quite a bit. He had a play where he was open in transition, pulled up for 3, it hit off the backboard. When have you seen Fred shoot off the backboard? But he's just chucking because he has no energy left on his legs, right? He had an air ball late in the fourth quarter. When do you see Fred shoot an air ball? A wide open corner 3, he barely grazes the front rim. He's tired, and I think his concern is bigger than other guys. For me, Pascal, obviously coming back from the shoulder surgery, he probably has more energy sort of residual left in the tank. Because even when you watch him, he's able to sort of pick it up. He's the guy who still has the most juice out there. Precious and Chris, those guys are fine. They can play their minutes. You know, they're hustle guys anyway. I don't really see their level of hustle drop over the course of the game. OG, I still think, probably struggles with it. And I think Scotty probably struggles with it. He also has that knee thing, which is a concern. But to me, the concern is different for Fred. Fred, they have to find a way to limit his minutes. But they also can't, because his backup guards have been cut from the rotation. And that's where, you know, when you look at it, yes, there's 4 point guards on the roster, in addition to the fact that Scotty can run some point, Pascal can run some point. The 3 of them aren't, one of them's not with the team. The other 2 can't play and contribute to a winning campaign. So that's where it's really tough. And so there's no options there. And that's why the Raptors need to get a 3rd guard, especially right now with Gary Trent Jr. out. You take Fred off the floor, there's no shooters. Well, I guess there's OG, but he was 1-for-5 last night, you know? So that's where they run into issues, and this is on the front office. It's also on Nick, because you have to sort of show some discretion, and you can't run Fred into the ground, but it's also on the front office. There's a reason he's having to turn to these guys. There are no other options that are viable, and that's a problem.
That's it, man. I'm blaming this on Svi. No, we gotta...
It is! No, it is on Svi, though. But look, listen, Svi was the last guy signed to the roster. Right? Like, yeah. Remember, like, the Raptors made their moves, and then all of a sudden in the offseason, they're like, oh, yeah, we signed Svi to a minimum deal, whatever. It was like, okay, cool. He's not going to factor in. Apparently, he's factoring in, and all of a sudden, he's the clear backup shooting guard. And they've cut him from the rotation, too, because he can't play. So,
man, I can't believe I'm missing Stanley Johnson and DeAndre Bembry, man. Where are we at?
I'm still not, man. What did Masai say to Stanley Johnson? You know, we need
to Masai basically said you suck at basketball at his exit meeting. He just said you are terrible, and that's it. And Stanley was like, man, I needed that. I needed that reality check. You know what? I advocate that, man.
Salute to Stanley.
If you're terrible at what you do, you should be told. Not enough people are told that. Anyways, that's a completely other topic. Yeah, man, I don't know, man. Goran, end your vacation, man. Just come back, play 15 minutes, literally dribble the ball up, throw the ball in the post to Pascal, play a little defense. That's it, all right? Goran, just come back.
You're not doing any of that. You know that.
How funny would it be if Goran just showed up, though? Like, what would Nick do, man? I feel like Nick would panic and start him again, like at the start of the season.
Yeah, why did he start twice? This is such a strange year for him, man. And it's a tough situation, you know. And I think heading into the trade deadline, I'm sure the Raptors will make some moves to balance out the roster.
Yeah, it's all good. That's all the serious basketball talk I got in my capacity, man. Let's go back to reviewing Rush Hour. So let me hit you with this. Tomorrow, they wrap up their road trip at Washington. Over, under, number of guys who play 7.5. What are you going with?
Under.
You think he's going to go 7-man again?
Yes. What part do you think? First off, they don't even have practices in between, right? I do feel like, as I saw Asad make this.
You can't keep going seven guys. I get those other guys are just giving up the lead, but like you just can't. Against the good teams, I get it, man. But a January regular season game against Washington at the end of the road trip, like you gotta at least give Utah like 5-10 minutes or something.
All right. You know what? You're right. And I agree with you. But again, looking from Nick's perspective, okay, the last time the Raptors played a substandard opponent was the Detroit Pistons. And let me just read you some box scores because I got that pulled up, okay?
Oh, man.
Champagne played 12 minutes and 10 seconds of that game, 0-for-1 from the field, 3 rebounds, 4 personal fouls, -2. Utah Watanabe played 8 minutes in that game, 0-for-3 from the field, all threes, got 2 free throws, got 1 rebound, 2 blocks, a turnover, -8. Svi Mihailuk, 6 minutes, 41 seconds, 0-for-2 from 3, classic. That's all he did from the game. A steal, a foul, -7. Delano Banton, 6 minutes, 0-for-1 from the field, 1 rebound, 1 turnover, -4. And then Malachi Flynn got in at the very end for garbage time. So that's the scenario where you're like, well, you know, it's a garbage opponent. Let's like, you know, let's sort of mix in a couple of guys and extend the rotation. That's what happens when you extend the rotation. You notice that literally not one of those guys scored a single basket.
I'm just saying, man, there's got to be a balance somewhere. There's just,
no, Nick Nurse needs to print out that box score and show it directly to Bobby Webster and Masai Ujiri. Show that box score to them right now.
I feel like he would make a louder statement.
I'm genuinely mad at the front office.
No, he would make a louder statement to the front office if he started 5 bench guys tomorrow and the Raptors somehow just come out and trail 23-1 during the first timeout.
I have no doubt they would trail 23-1. If they started those.
Well, Nick's been in those positions in the British Basketball League, so he'll be okay.
Nah, Nick would he would rather go back to being a player coach than put Malachi in the game.
Yo, Nick got more NN colorways, hat colorways, than he does rotation players right now. It's looking tough, man. It's really looking real tough. What else do we want to talk about from this Dallas game? How about Scottie Barnes just deciding not to guard Luka?
Yeah, let's get all the negativity out in the first half of the show. Second half, the vibes will be much better. Okay, so that's the last thing we got to address is, so I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Scottie was frustrated with the officiating, right? I'm sure everyone would be frustrated with the officiating. Luka probably drew like 25 personal fouls in that game. Now, granted, the Raptors didn't play great defense against them. They fouled them quite a bit. So, like, I don't know why I'd be frustrated specifically. But, of course, it felt like Scottie was frustrated with the way Luka was getting guarded. He was in foul trouble. He was in the primary assignment. He was in foul trouble all night, only played 28 minutes. Nick probably wanted to play him 68 minutes last night. So there's a play that Vivek Jacob highlighted on his Twitter as well, that in the second quarter, Luka went for his step-back move. He got separation from Scottie, and Scottie just waved him off. Now, Luka missed that shot. In the fourth quarter, he does the exact same thing. And I don't care what it was. Oh, you know, the coverage, you know, he expected a double or expected a switch or whatever. Oh, you know, like Luka's just shooting great this season percentage-wise. Or, oh, you know, he's frustrated with officiating. I don't care what the excuse is. With like 2 seconds left in the shot clock in a one-point game in the last minute against Luka. Against anybody. You close out. I don't care how late you are. I don't care how much you were beat with the initial fake that got him backpedaling before Luka got the separation. You close out. No, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And that's a rookie mistake from Scottie. And as I pointed in the React Pod, there's a couple of moments a game. There's 3 things Scottie loves to do in terms of like not even show off-y kind of stuff, but just the flair moves, let's just say, okay? Number 1, the no-look passes. That's probably the least harmful for me because he looks first and then looks away. That's a look-away pass, but he does that a lot. We know that, right? There was a game also earlier this season in the fourth quarter. He throws a look-away pass to Chris Boucher in traffic. He throws it away, and Nick benched him for a little bit, right? That's a moment of indecision. There's another play where he steals the ball, is on a runaway for a dunk, and then slows down, looks back at the guy, and then when he gets closer, puts it in for the dunk, right? We saw him almost miss one against Memphis. Remember that? Remember that game where the Raptors lost at home to the shorthanded Memphis Grizzlies? He did that in that game, right? That same Memphis Grizzlies game, by the way, he had a play in the first quarter, like literally 30 seconds into the game. The Grizzlies score, and Scottie Barnes just like throws the ball. He like did a jumping inbound for some reason, just to like quick inbound, and threw it right to the Grizzlies for who scored it. It was such a quick play. It wasn't even shown on the broadcast, but I remember seeing that live and being disgusted. And Nick pulled him from the lineup for a little bit, put Utah in the game, and then put Scotty back into the game. Afterwards, he said, everyone knows what Scotty did wrong there. And then the third mistake is this, is the no closeout thing. Like, I mean, look, he's young. I totally get it, right? But like, you got to get serious. These small mistakes matter. Like, do you see Fred doing this? Do you see Pascal doing this? Do you see serious NBA players doing this? No. So as a rookie, you know, you just got to be more serious about some of these things. Yes, it's important to make a highlight, but it's not. Nothing's more important than winning the game. So these are small things that, you know, Nick and Scotty need to hammer out.
No, it's totally with you. I'm thinking it's just
immaturity.
No, it's immaturity, and you're a rookie, right? Like you mentioned, he's a 20-year-old rookie. And I'm thinking about, too, when he got benched at the start of that Boston Celtics game because he did, like, a nonchalant, a behind-the-back inbound pass, like, a minute into the game.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that was a mistake, right? Behind-the-back inbound pass. Who does that?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah, there's such a playfulness and, like, nonchalantness in his personality that I think translates onto the court. But it's funny because, like, as you're talking about all the mistakes, I got to thinking about it's like what we're talking about in this segment. If anything, like playing this 7-man rotation and doing all of this stuff, it's probably most beneficial to a guy like Scotty because he's getting such great experience as a rookie right now, both good and bad, playing in these moments and then going through these mistakes. So I'm with you, man. That stuff's got to get cleaned up. But for me, I've always said, like, given the potential that Scotty has flashed, like, let him have this rookie season, let him go through the ups and downs, and I think we can probably have a more critical eye towards him next season when I think the expectations are going to get way ramped up. But yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, I saw that play, and, like, Nick reacted to it very viscerally as well. We saw on the broadcast, like, you can't do that, man, especially against Luka. What are you doing?
Yeah, no, but I mean, that's the thing, though, and it's a pattern of this, right? Like, it's not just one thing. You're not picking on a guy for one instance, you know, and I'm not even saying what kind of specific defensive coverage did you use, or footwork, or sort of, like, everything like that. Like, it's not even about the defensive technique or the strategies, nothing. This is just about an attitude thing, right? Like, and that's the thing. Like, I'm not saying he has an attitude issue. That's totally different. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm just saying, there are small moments of immaturity for a player in his first year as a pro that have sort of cropped up, and Nick has sort of has to constantly sort of address these things. This is not the first time and won't be the last time. Hopefully it is the last time, though. And I think the bigger picture is, like, yeah, I mean, the Raptors clearly trust Scotty. That's the thing. But the thing is, you got to reward trust, because if you're entrusted to guard Jimmy Butler at the end of a game, in a one-possession game, if you're entrusted to guard Luka Doncic in that situation, you got to do better than what Scotty did in the last two appearances, which he gives up on the Luka thing. Whatever, even if he put his hand out, Luka probably still has enough separation and a clean look to hit that three. Maybe it doesn't even affect the play, right? Or, you know, and the Heat thing, Jimmy Butler blows right past him, and he doesn't really close out to the corner, which is his, you know, Chris Boucher rotated over, so you got to help the helper. You need to, you know, just fly all out and get out to the corner and contest against PJ Tucker, which he didn't do. He just kind of turned and slowly walked, right? So these things need to happen. If they trust you, you got to reward that trust. But these are a part of the growing pains, I suppose. But that's enough negative vibes. I think, you know, as Nick said, why all the negativity? They're playing, objectively speaking, they're playing good basketball. They just haven't got wins, you know, and hopefully they can get a win against Washington. But for now, we're going to take a quick break. I'm your host, Will Liu. You've been listening to The Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to The Raptor Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm your host, Will Liu, and I've continued to be joined but my producer and co-host, Alex Wong. During the five-minute break, we hashed it out, and the Asian parent thing is going to go away a little bit, and we're going to get to some happier items, Alex, so go ahead.
Yeah, this is not the year of the tiger mom, all right? We got the negativity.
Every year is the year of the tiger mom, bro.
Anyways, we got the negativity out of the system. The most Raptors-friendly Raptors radio program is back. So we're no longer going to talk about Nick Nurse having less rotation players than NN Hats. Oh my God, I'm angry again. Hey,
What are you doing, man?
I know, man. I don't know, man. I can't shake it today. I can't even put on my NN hat today. So I saw this tweet and I wanted to run this by you, Will, on the program. You know, all these prompt tweets, people are like, would you do this for this amount of money and all of that stuff. I always find them to be really corny, and then somehow I bring them on the show to ask you about. So there was one that says, would you spend a year in an empty room for $30 billion. No books, no movies, no phones, no consoles. For a single year, you're trapped in this room, but you get paid $30 billion after 365 days. Hopefully it's not a leap year. What do you think about this offer? Could you do it, William Liu?
Okay, so I got a couple follow-up questions about some of the fine print here. Number one, like, I still get fed, right? Like,
yeah, I believe you still get fed. Food is confirmed. It's probably not the, you know, great DoorDash orders that you always talk about. You know, I would say it's probably average food. So, okay. But yes, food will be provided for you, Will.
And if I die within this 1 year, does somebody, like, do I have a beneficiary?
First of all, the beneficiary will be me. I will also, carry your honor and do 10 things, probably for two games, and then decide that, wow, this is a lot of work, and just quit. But yeah, I'm not sure about the beneficiary. I'm going to have to get back to you on that one.
I mean, if I got to sacrifice 1 year and potentially like go insane for $30 billion, which is going to set up generational wealth, then yeah, I'll probably do it. But
okay, capitalism took another one. That's all I gotta say. Yeah, so listen, 30 billion is a lot of money, and I feel like 1 year, you know, this is one of the better ones, better prompt tweets on Twitter, I feel like, because
it's pretty hard.
This one I gotta think about, because I don't know what I would do. I think I would just, I guess, brainstorm a bunch of bars every day, but that would only last me like 4 days.
Like, how could that even hold you for 4 hours, let alone 4 days?
You don't know me. You don't know me. No, but
I clearly don't, man.
I just don't know what I would do with my mind, right? Like, I'd be really worried.
No, you would expire. That's what happens.
Is that the best word you have for? Yo, I love how we're like, let's have a more positive second segment, and we started with, hey man, would you trap yourself in a room for 1 year?
Next item. Come on. Go down the run. I know I see more topics in the rundown. Go ahead.
Next item. So David Johnson. First of all, do you know a single thing about David Johnson, Will Liu?
Yeah, no, it sounds like a fake name.
We've just learned nothing about him. Can we get a 3-hour open gym episode? Anything? Maybe we have to secure him for the next interview of the century. But yesterday, the Raptors tweeted out a video of the three other rookies, Justin Champagne, Delano Banton, and Scotty Barnes, and said, we need a nickname for this trio. And I was like, this is David Johnson erasure. Like, we have joked about David Johnson not existing, but I feel like we're just pretending. Like, I don't know who's the last Raptor that was this anonymous. And trust me, I know he's, you know, more, you know, for the 905, and, you know, he's a second rounder, all that stuff. But like, who was the last Raptor that was this anonymous?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say probably like Xavier Thames or something like that back in like 2014. But like, yeah, it's a strange case. I mean, it was a joke, obviously, when they were drafted after draft night. It was like, okay, Scotty and Delano, they come to Toronto together, get the big welcome, and, you know, they got to like tour the city, and they're kings of the city immediately. And it was awesome and great to see. And jokes were like, oh, David Johnson's, you know, the Squidward meme looking outside the window and seeing like Patrick and SpongeBob, which I think actually the situation's very appropriate. But then it just kept happening over and over again. Obviously, he hasn't played much. He had an injury, and then he came back. He's playing with the G League. Sometimes I see him, I'm like, oh, there he is. But like, there's no news about him. You know, I remember when we interviewed Justin Champagne, I was being nice, and I was like, oh, there's four rookies coming in this draft class. And he's like, yeah. I heard that. Yeah, I've seen that. I know this David character. So I don't know, man, but it's tough. And you know, you're starting to see these videos. So clearly he's not traveling with the team. He's just fully with the 905. But like, you know, like they're on the team plane. They're singing happy birthday to Gary. It's the three rookies. It's the three rookies on the sideline. By the way, all three guys are Jamaican, which is really cool. And I feel like maybe the nickname can come from that angle. But other than that, yeah, there's just almost no specific acknowledgement. But hopefully David makes an impact sometime. He is on a two-way contract, which, you know, he's not just a G League guy, but...
Oh, there's a fun fact. He's on a two-way contract. There we go.
There you go.
Now we know. Yeah. Listen, we got to send David Johnson to Miami. Go retrieve Goran Dragic. That is your rookie assignment. Drop the pin to the Miami Heat practice facility. That is where Goran can be found from 10 a.m.
Yo, he's not Liam Neeson and taken, man. What do you want him to do with Goran? Goran's not going to come. So I don't know what's
going on. Goran, we need 15 minutes against the Washington Wizards tomorrow, all right? Face up against Kyle Kuzma and drive to the basket. Show me what you've got, and then we'll trade you the next day.
It's not happening still.
All right, trying my best to be positive. Okay, let's spread this positivity because the Raptors have crossed the mid-season mark. They are currently 21-21, and all I remember are the 21 losses. Wow, I can't shake this negativity today. We got to try again tomorrow, man. I thought we would give mid-season awards to every single Raptors player. Well, caveat, I don't think I included every single Raptors player.
I was going to say, forgot. You had David Johnson, but you forgot Justin Champagne, who I put in the list for mine.
I forget Justin Champagne? Oh, man, apologies.
Come on, bro. He's one of the seven players who are playing. How did you forget about him?
He's one of our seven interviews of the century. Apologies. So I'll start with you, Will. Which player do you have and what award are you handing out?
So I got the first one for me is Pascal Siakam, and I'm giving him the award at the halfway mark for the most enlightened. I've been really enjoying his post-game interviews. I think Fred usually is the one who gives you these like really clairvoyant, really honest interviews where he's really transparent and open and also really smart about things. And I just like the way Pascal's been approaching it. You know, he was talking the other game. He's like, you know, in previous seasons, I think about things like when things go wrong, it's like, yo, why me? And I really get down on myself. And it's like, why not you? You want it to happen to someone else? This is just life. You got to get through it. You push through it. You stay positive. You sort of focus on the things that are important. And you work on getting better. And I think that such a healthy mindset for Pascal to be in. And what you're seeing this year is him getting back to full health. Obviously, with the shoulder surgery, he's recovering from that. And I think he's pretty good now. And his approach to the game has been really refreshing. I've really enjoyed watching him of late. And I love the way he's been speaking, too. So he's getting my most enlightened Raptor at the halfway mark award. By the way, we probably should do like some grades or something. Maybe we do it tomorrow. I don't know. But who do you
spread
have
the spread the content out, man. We're almost drawing dead. No, I'm just kidding. We got 17 Nick Nurse voicemails in the bank that I'm just waiting for a better Nick Nurse day. Maybe let's not give away an NN hat on the day where I'm like, why is he playing seven
nah
guys?
Someone's gonna take that and burn it, so let's not do that. Come on. All right, who do you got? What's your award?
The winner will be Dwayne Casey. My award to Fred VanVleet.
Oh my god.
My award to Fred VanVleet is most likely to land 5 sponsorships at All-Star Weekend. So the latest All-Star voting has come back. Fred and Pascal are both 7th in voting, so nothing's changed. They're going to need the coaches to vote them in. I actually don't even think it matters if Fred makes the All-Star team. I think he will. But even if he doesn't, I think he's going to spend All-Star Weekend just rolling up to Cleveland. And, you know, we know how All-Star Weekend works. A lot of brands are there. A lot of agents are there. A lot of business deals gets done. I guarantee that Fred's going to come back with at least 5 new brand sponsorships, or actually equity, because he did tell you last time that he's no longer looking for scraps and he wants equity. So that's my award for Fred. Who do you have?
That's a good one. For my next award, which is the award for the person most likely to wear a hoodie to a formal event.
Oh, wow. Am I coming to accept this? Is this me?
No, I mean, you would win this if you were on the Raptors. And honestly, you know, you might be on the Raptors next. Who knows? Nick Nurse might play you over Malachi. But OG Anunoby's going to get the award for most likely to wear a hoodie to a formal event. And so OG used to be like, you know, big into fashion. You know, you had the story that you like to tell where as a rookie, OG asked you like, hey, man, you dress kind of nice. Like, where do you shop in the city? Because, you know, I'm new here. And you're like, oh, yeah, you go here, this vintage place or whatever, right? And then OG's like, yo, by the way, how old are you? And then you were like, yeah, I'm 86. And like, OG literally
true story, by the way, up to the point where this man called me 86. Come on, man. At least make it slightly realistic. Call me 44 or something, man.
Yeah, half of that is like realistic.
Call me the 45 bus or something, man. Please.
Yeah, no, you're the Kipling Express. But OG Anunoby, like I don't know. He just seems to only wear hoodies now, which is kind of cool. So he's gone the opposite direction with his fashion.
Yeah, he's the new Marc Gasol. And, you know, I love listening to you talk basketball, Will, but you know I love when you talk fashion. So speaking of fashion, my next award is to Gary Trent Jr., most likely to never shop at SVP or H&M. I think we've established Gary is not wearing anything unless it costs at least $3,000. So shouts to Gary and Gary's stylist and Gary's team. He is blowing up in terms of the fits right now. And I think he doesn't have a problem with getting the attention.
No. I thought he was in a more like, I would say, normcore fit, I guess, yesterday with a nice little trench coat, little sweater underneath, you know, looking real cozy with the neutral browns. And then he was wearing a pair of gloves indoors, which I'm like, you know what? Fair enough. COVID, you know, you're not trying to touch the surfaces. I get it. So then someone on the timeline was like, those aren't just regular gloves. Those are $1,300. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, oh, his sweater was probably $5,000 and he was wearing a whole Carhartt get up. Like, yeah. No, we need Gary back,
what's,
man.
What's Carhartt? What?
Anyways, what's your next award, William Liu?
Yeah, my next award is for the player least likely to contest a game-winning shot. And obviously, that's going to Scotty Barnes.
Come on. Yeah, okay. We might got to call this episode the negativity hour. So I think that one is self-explanatory. We have covered that.
Yeah, let's move on. Your next one?
Most likely to remind me of Dwight Howard's personality. Anyways, my next one is Kem Birch. And this one is just for you. He wins the best warm-up floater shot award.
Yes.
And I know you've been at the arena and I know you love studying players who warm up. So Kem has this routine where he does his little flick shot and he literally starts from under the basket and moves out towards the paint, towards the free throw line. It's honestly a mesmerizing thing to see. Whenever fans are allowed back at the arena again, forget about Steph Curry's pregame three-point routine.
Come to see Overrated. Kem throw flip shots.
Overrated. I want you guys to go buy a $500 ticket, sit in the 100 level, show up at 5 p.m. and watch Kem Birch put up these floaters. Highly recommended.
Yeah. And also, you know, the added note is sometimes he'll like add a screen in there too. Like he'll screen.
Yo, the details you have about warm-ups, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but something needs to be done with all this information.
I can't wait till the Raptors are back home, man. I'm ready. I'm going to the games. I'm boosted. You know, got some.
Yeah, we
got
to talk. I might show up with you on Sunday, but we'll talk.
Oh, really? There. Okay. Yeah. All right.
But what's your next award? What's your next award?
That's pretty good. All right. The next one is the award for most likely to snap back at the media. And I mean, come on, that's Chris Boucher. So let's just move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Shouts to Chris and his new sponsorship with Slim Jim. Free promo on the Raptor Show. We are best friends again. My next award goes to Yuta Watanabe. The player the Raptors show is most likely to support regardless of how he does on the court. We are still, can you confirm, Will, that we are still the most Utah-friendly Raptors program?
Absolutely. By the way, against Washington, I'm serious about this. Try to play Utah. Like, give the Japanese fans what they want. Utah versus Rui is like
I didn't
a
even
huge
think about
matchup.
That. Fans have been waiting for now. That because, they didn't play last year because every single matchup, one of them was injured.
Mm-hmm. And they played once, I believe, when Yuta was a two-way guy for the Memphis Grizzlies. And they played Rui when I think Rui was a rookie. But last year, it didn't happen. And so far this year, it hasn't happened. Even the Raptors have played Washington twice. Rui's been away, and Yuta has been away as well. But, yeah, they're finally both healthy. Play them tomorrow. And, if you want an eighth man, that's my pick for the eighth man. So, play Yuta. And, yeah, this is always going to be a Yuta-friendly program. Because until someone else says that they're going to bring a rice cooker to Tampa Bay, I don't think I'll pick anyone else to be my favorite Raptor. I'm sorry. I have certain biases. I can admit it.
Yeah, no, we have lots of biases. We should do a whole show about our biggest biases. Anyways, that would be a three-hour program in drive time. So what's your next award, Will?
The next award goes to the player least aware that the backboard exists, and that is going to Precious Achiuwa. Amy in the broadcast, and Amy's done such a great job filling in on the broadcast in the color commentator role. And Amy, as a former player, especially as a low post player, she keeps saying she's, you know, screen assist Poppy essentially. She was talking about, you know, they were showing a highlight of Precious, you know, finishing in traffic and going up for this floater, and he was like, I'm surprised he didn't use the backboard there. Like, that's a really easy shot to just like put it right on the backboard. You're right at the basket and you give yourself a really good chance. He didn't use the backboard at all. And I was thinking like, that might be one of the issues. Precious loves throwing up this little like flip shots. And I would say he's not at Kem's level yet. So that's the award for Precious so far. What's your next one?
So I think we each have three left. So I'll give you my last three and then I'll hear yours. Wow. I do have David Johnson on here. I already forgot.
You have him on your list.
The Raptor player fans know the absolute least about. All right, we already covered that one. So shouts to David Johnson. Come collect your award. And then go get Goran from Miami. Svi Mihailuk wins the award for most likely to never attempt a three-pointer again. I don't know what happened, man. Like,
it was you. I mean, you shamed him. No, you shamed him.
Listen, I didn't shame him. I was on NBA.com/stats. Like, people want me to talk more basketball. You know, I got you. You know, I just wanted to point out a statistical trend that was happening with Svi Mihailuk, that he wasn't making more than 2 3-pointers in any game. And I feel like recently when he has gotten off the bench, I don't even see him attempting threes anymore. And I've actually started to track when Svi shoots threes after the whistle, just to see if those go in, because I'm counting those as well. And
That's your warm-up report.
No, I got a whole chart. Man. Come on, man. And my last one goes to our guy, Delano Banton. Delano, come on the program again. We need to redo the interview. Giving him the best first NBA basket ever award. As you'll remember, he got a huge ovation on opening night at the Scotiabank Arena. Wow, almost called it the Air Canada Center. And he hit a half-court buzzer beater in the second half, in the third quarter, in your hometown, with your fans, and assuming friends and family cheering you on. That must have been just one of the coolest moments ever. So those are my awards, and I believe you have 3 awards left as well, Will.
I do have 3 awards left, but let me just quickly ask you, true or false, Svi Mihailuk has not made a single 3 since 2022 happened?
True.
That is true. That is true. Yeah, he has not made
a single.
And by the way,
that game log is my homepage.
He's played 6 games in 2022 so far. So
he's not even shooting threes anymore. There's games when he doesn't even attempt them.
Yeah, he played 14 minutes against the Pelicans, didn't attempt a single 3. Again, yeah, this literally is your the fault, only man. Thing I shamed him.
No, nothing is ever my fault. Listen, if I had that much power, Kawhi Leonard would still be here. So, anyways.
Yeah. Okay, all right. My last 3 awards. This one is for the most Rodman award. Obviously, we know a lot of players on the team profess to love Dennis Rodman. I'm going to give that to Justin Champagne. He is the most Rodman out of the group, I would say. Maybe there's a case to be made for Boucher, but who's going to come in a game and grab 10 rebounds and not take a shot, right? It's Champagne.
We are going to look back on this Rodman narrative at the end of the season and laugh about it, because it got out of hand.
I'm pretty sure the Raptors are 30th in defensive rebounding rate, too.
Oh, my God. That's what I'm saying. How far have we fallen that we're just celebrating offensive rebounding? Anyways, the negativity will not go away today. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The next award goes to the player who most owes their father a great gift this Father's Day, and that's Malachi Flynn. Eric Flynn, Father of the Year. Yeah. We got to save that for tomorrow, apparently. We got to ration our content.
We're saving some Eric Flynn content for tomorrow. That'll definitely keep people coming back to the number one ranked basketball program in Canada. Can you double check if we still are, so I'm not lying? What's the last one?
I check every day, and we are. And then the last one, the award for the Nietzsche Ambitia Award is going to Goran Dragic. Yeah, that's right. Nietzsche Ambitia.
What?
I think I might have messed that up. I'm sorry. I'm definitely not fluent in Croatian.
What does this mean?
It means lower ambitions, because I have lower ambitions of what I expect.
I thought you were offering
me
a kombucha or something, man. What are you doing, man? Okay.
No.
Wow. Okay, so you're still mad at Goran for saying he had higher ambitions.
Yes, I absolutely am.
I'm more mad at that.
The whole team before you even come here, man.
I'm more mad at how he played. I don't care what he said.
Yeah. Well, when did he
I'm pretty sure he started the first 2 games of the season. I might go back and watch some tape.
Was it positive in the second half? I'm not convinced.
You know what? I don't think it worked out.
What's happening? Why have we not become positive this year?
I brought the wrong vibes today, because today I was like, man, I'm going to grill you about Nick in this 7-man rotation, and we just couldn't shake it. But listen, tomorrow's a new day. Me and you, we're going to answer some Twitter questions. Got an Eric Flynn segment. I don't know why we're hyping that up. That's going to be like 1 minute. I can't wait to do that again with you tomorrow, Will, my second favorite host at Sportsnet behind Show Ali.
Yeah, it's okay, man. I was usurped, man. But I hope you stick to your Bills predictions. So that does it for us today. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you'll be listening to The Raptor Show on Sports FM 90 The Fan. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, and please rate and review our show. Thanks once again to my producer and co-host, Alex Long, to our board producer, Derek Bandale, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.